I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 13. I am here, as the title says, with Ian Harris. Ian is actually a friend through a friend. For those of you who already heard Dan Gabriel's episode, I was telling Dan, I'm like, I'm trying to find dad comedians. He's like, you got to get Ian Harris on here. So thanks again for being here, Ian.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to meet you. So we'll just sit here and we'll chat, and I know you have a daughter, you said?
Yeah, seven-year-old.
A seven-year-old daughter. So you said there's lots of dancing and singing in your life. That's, you know, I was showing my son has turned a rug in my entryway. We tucked a towel underneath it. I helped. It's not like he came up with that. Exactly. He's only three, but it was a game that I used to do when I was a kid. He even has my old monster truck style, like Hot Wheel cars.
Nice.
And we jump. We make jumps and make cool noises. And so I said, what is it? I go, I don't know if you have an equivalent to that. He's like, no, there's lots of singing and dancing. So is it like you and your wife sitting down and watching a show?
Some of that. Sometimes we used to have dance nights where, like, we come home Friday night, I put on the iPod and we dance in the living room. And
all of you, the whole fam?
Yeah, but generally it becomes me and my daughter. My wife will watch, then she'll dance, then she'll watch. But yeah, my daughter loves music in general. Like, she just loves dancing. But yeah, then she'll put on shows. Like, her friends will come over and it'll be like, okay, you guys sit here and we're going to put on this. And they make up some song and they start dancing. And then they, oh, hold on, wait, we got to do it again. And they, of course, they mess up about 30 times and they come back in. And okay, here. And they've got this whole routine worked out. And my daughter's elementary school has won like this scholarship, some kind of grant thing, like multiple years in a row. For this year, they went all the way. They think they like took second or third nationally. They won California every year, but it's like the president's fitness, some sort of innovative. It's like an innovative new way to get kids active.
Yep.
So they have a thing called, she goes, called it's like Overland in Motion. So what they do is this lady comes out and she plays music, and they do dances as an entire school before school starts.
Oh, wow. So everybody's in their rooms.
No, everyone's outside in one big giant group. And she's up on a stage and they play music and they have these choreographed dances that are like jazzercise.
Almost like the Filipino jail flash mobs to Michael Jackson songs.
Exactly.
Very similar to that.
Exactly.
I would imagine.
So my wife, my daughter's always like choreographing new moves.
Oh, really?
Three steps sideways and then a grapevine and then a reach. You know,
so I'm sorry if I misunderstand. It's your daughter who's standing up on a stage?
No. Oh, okay. My daughter is just in the mix. Right.
Okay.
So she does this every morning where the teacher gets up on stage, plays the music. It's like 20 minutes and the whole school, teachers and everybody, and even parents if they want, can do this kind of like jazzercise thing to certain songs. And they have like, you know, she has different routines to different songs. And they'll make up ones. And if the kids want, they can make one up and give it to her. And then they'll do that.
Oh, right,
like, every now and then.
They like pitch it to her almost. And
exactly. Yeah. Have a pitch meeting and talk about there. I'm thinking about three grapevines here. I like your three grapevines, but I'm thinking two grapevines.
Yeah, two grapevines is probably what it's going to be. We want it to be likable. We'll see how it tests. We're going to test the grapevines, and then we'll see where the knobs go. Let's let the knobs tell us.
Exactly. So she's all into like choreographing stuff and... But yeah, she's also, you know, she's cool. Like I train MMA fighters. It's like my day job. My not day job. It's my hobby. So she's also.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's my.
That is awesome.
Oh, thanks. So yeah, so she'll be like, let's do jujitsu, and like she'll throw a blanket down on the ground. She'll be like, all right, let's go. Here's our mat. All right, take your shoes off, man. We're gonna roll. And I'm like, okay, now we're gonna.
You know what's funny is that Ian, you walked into my home, and that's what I thought. I'm like, he has this vibe. Here's the thing. You probably know this now that since you know you train MMA fighters, is that people who can really kick the living shit out of people have a certain like almost zen peace about them, like, you know what I mean? Right. they don't necessarily look like they're not the guys, the big black dudes that can barely put their elbows against their sides. Right, they're right. Not those guys. They're usually medium buildish, but you could tell that they're fit, you know what I mean?
Right.
But they don't have an intimidating really bone in their body. But what almost makes them also intimidating is they also don't have like any insecurity going on in their body language. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
And there's always this, I feel like, because you walked in, I'm like, he kind of has that vibe of like a guy who knows karate. Like, that's what I thought in my head hilarious. When I first met you. Am I crazy with this theory? Do you think I'm...
No, not at all. Because, I mean, I'm not like an uber confident guy necessarily, but in the last several years, like I've trained my whole life. I boxed when I was six, but I've really gotten... The more I do it, like with MMA, it's practical. In jiu-jitsu, it's practical. You do it every day. That's why karate and those sort of things don't work like we had expected, because when you do that stuff, and I did karate for, I'm not bagging on karate, I did it for years and years, but you don't actually train it for real. Some people go, oh, I just eye gouge you and kick you in the balls. It's like, how do you know? You've never actually eye gouged or kicked somebody
in
the balls.
So what you're saying is if I go and study karate, then it's a lot of air practicing or up against a body, or maybe I'm painting some old man's fence or fighting a log.
Right,
whereas
exactly.
In jiu-jitsu, it would be like you and me really throwing down for 15 minutes or whatever.
We go, because jiu-jitsu is like wrestling, so we go until you tap out.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we're going 100%, and then we get you in a choke, and you go, okay, you got me, let's move on. And when you're doing boxing or kickboxing, you put on full gear, and you beat the crap out of each other. So you know what's landing and what's not landing. So in MMA, it's, you know, a combination of all that stuff. So you're doing a lot more very practical, realistic training. So it's amazing when you're training people and you can see guys come in and they're like, yeah, I want to fight. We get this every day in the gym. So they come in and go, so you like to join? Yeah, I want to fight. I got 4 million street fights. I never lost. Well, I lost that one, but that was just because that one thing happened. You know, whatever. And like, okay, cool. Well, how long can I fight? 2 years? 2 years. I was thinking like 2 weeks. I'm like, well, why don't you jump in and go wrestle with that 120-pound girl? And then the girl proceeds to kick the living shit out of the guy, and then he never comes back. And I go, see, this works. Yeah. Like, you can tell when, you know, and just so there's this thing, like, with after, like, 6 months or a year of doing this, you know, where it's like, man, anybody here who trains for this amount of time will be able to handle themselves with the majority of just normal people. Yeah, I mean, if some guy's 6'5 and just a monster, he might overpower you because he's just really strong, and all the technique in the world might or might not work, you know? But if all things are semi-equal and you're in a bar and the guy doesn't know anything and you have 6 months of jiu-jitsu training or some wrestling and some boxing, you're going to toy with that guy. It's not even an issue. So, yeah, it's like for me, years later, it's funny because, you know, doing comedy, I had a guy who was sitting at the bar and people always want to talk to me and about stuff. And one guy that I was working with found out that I train fighters. And he goes, this is hilarious. He was a really cool dude from New York. And he goes, man, what's it like? Like that. And I go, what's what like? And he goes, knowing that you can kick the shit out of anybody here. And I go, I have never even thought
about
of that.
Yeah, like, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. When you know it and you feel it, you don't think about it. That's, honest to God, this sounds stupid, but that's what keeps me from really doing it. Because I had this like kind of fantasy where it's like, you know what? I have a son now. Right. I feel like I should be able to teach him how to, you know, how to defend himself for a little bit. But then you have this weird thought of like, well, if I go and take some martial arts class, if I'm going to take a beginner class, chances are I'm going to be around a bunch of kids, like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Or a bunch of out of shape dudes in their 30s like me. Right. You know what I mean? Then we're just going to be sweating on each other or something, or around each other. You know, lots of us vomiting off the mat. Yeah, they'll yell at us. You know,
so probably right.
So I'm like, and I go, and really, like, he won't really appreciate it, I guess. So I'll let him figure it out. My wife took him to one taekwondo class. I think I talked about it on the show. It did not go well. It's funny because my old co-host used to joke because I wrestle with him. Like, him and I play like boys do or whatever.
Right.
And, And so it's like, oh, I'll wrestle him down. And he used to make fun of me saying, well, when he's a bully in school, then you can say, well, it's because I used to fight him and let him watch like PG-13 movies and stuff.
Right.
And I used to think, I don't think that really can happen. And so this proved it. When I took him to a Taekwondo class, all it took was some Asian chick not telling him exactly what she needed him to do.
Right.
And he just had a meltdown. Like he just lost.
Wow.
I think he was like 2.5, maybe just turned 3. And they were like, run, run. They just kept yelling at him to run. And he's like, And all the other kids were running in circles and he didn't know where he was supposed to go. And then they're like, punch this. And he's like, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. And then they start crying. And then like the guy who I met, I think his name was actually Master Kwan, I want to say, or Khan. I don't know. But he came up to me and he was like, I go, well, maybe it's not the right time for him. He's like, no. He goes, a lot of kids go through this. He's like, see this other boy? He cried every day for 2 weeks. And now look at him as this little short Indian dude who's the smallest in the class. He's having the time of his life, you know?
Right.
So I was like, well, I believe that, you know, you kind of coddle him too much or whatever. So I was like, all right. But then he just lost it. And then he had nightmares where like, I don't like the floor here. He would scream at his mom. I don't want to come here again. The floor is weird. He would scream in his sleep, you know?
That might be an issue you need to check into.
Exactly. I think I've
the texture of this makes me feel strange.
That's what he took away from it. Is that the floor is too soft. It doesn't, I guess. I don't know. I didn't want to talk to him about it. Plus,
cut to 20 years and he's like into textile business or whatever. And textures are very important when designing a house. It's like feng shui.
But I do think that it's something that I think it's something that's kind of missing from our society. And maybe you can kind of talk about this a little bit, is that I think that people have a misunderstanding that by your kid being aware of how to throw a punch, that he's automatically going to use it. But there is no real like common example of that, like what we just talked about. Anybody who can whoop the living shit out of 90% of the people they're looking at is the nicest, kindest person because they're not worried. The real people who are bullies are insecure.
Right,
that's
exactly
really where it comes from. They're trying to compensate for something, you know, bigger. You know, you don't have to watch Christmas Story 40 times until you can figure that out. You know, you hit them back once and they cry like little babies.
It's funny because a lot of fighters were one of the guys I used to train he was a top level fighter for a long time, and he's a smaller guy. He's 135 pounder. And he was telling me a story, and I actually turned it into a bit for a while, but it's like he was telling me a story about how when he was a kid, he always heard those, you know, you always watch those after school specials where if you just stand up to the bully, they'll here's Billy as he stands up to the bully, or whatever.
And but that's how it was when we were kids. Right. And now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but now it's like, go find someone and tell them.
Exactly.
Now you have to tattle on them or whatever.
The funny thing is he said this guy kept picking on him or whatever. And he finally goes, I'm just going to stand up to this guy. He goes, so I stood up to him. He goes, and then all I remember was hearing the sound of skateboards hitting me in the head.
I'm so horrible that I'm laughing.
And I'm like, and the whole time you're thinking to yourself, television lied to me.
Yes.
It's funny because so a lot of guys who you know, martial arts especially, I mean, guys that are MMA fighters, and nowadays you're getting guys that came from MMA. 5-10 years ago, everyone came from martial arts that does MMA, that's in the UFC. They all were karate guys or something, you know, you weren't getting these jocks. You were getting nerds who thought that their karate was going to do them really well and realized it wasn't. So they went to the next best thing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. They started doing other stuff and they became these great fighters. But they're all nerds because think about back in high school, the cool jocks weren't doing karate.
No.
The nerds were doing karate.
They were too busy banging chicks.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
they didn't have to defend themselves.
Right, exactly. So like a lot of the guys that got the jump start on it were these nerd guys who wanted to learn karate and whatever. I mean, now you're getting a lot of kids, you know, like the jocks that are going, oh, this is a valid sport and you know, they're taking over because they're athletically gifted.
Yes.
But there's still a lot of that. There's a lot of mental, like I get this a lot where it's funny because when my daughter was like in preschool, she knows the difference. She knows what's a sport and what's not. And she actually, I remember she came home, she goes, yeah, Dad, these two kids, whoever, were fighting at preschool or whatever. And I told him, I'm like, you don't do that unless you're in the octagon. It was hilarious. Like that's her rule. Like, she knows she knows how to punch and kick. She, you know, she puts on boxing gloves and she punches and kicks, and she can, you know, do arm bars on me and all that. But she goes, well, this is practice. But we don't actually do this to somebody unless it's, you know, where we're getting paid.
Yeah.
And we're, this is a sport. You don't just, you know.
You're just wasting your gift. You're yeah, just, exactly. Nobody here is paying.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, we've already paid for our hot lunches. Nobody yeah, exactly. has any money on them. Yeah. This you're is not, horrible. You have, plus, you have form. You don't go from your shoulder. It's from your hip.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did you learn this? There's no follow through. Don't stop it. It's punch through his head. But this is disgusting to watch.
I won't mention names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But my a friend, I'll just say, was their kid was there with us, and we had UFC on, and you know, 2.5, 3 year old boy, whatever. And it's like, no, what are you watching? And he was going, I'm watching wrestling. And that's really what it was, because the people were wrestling. There was no yeah. punching going on. It was, you know, UFC fight, and a lot of wrestling happens. What is it though? It's wrestling. What is it? It's wrestling. And they kept trying to get him to say, you know, they're beating the crap out of each other. Because yeah. like, oh, they're wrestling. That's what he saw. And like, no, you can't watch that. Those guys are being, like, those guys are being naughty. Those guys are being mean or whatever.
And I like the naughty incantation of what world that opens
and
up.
And I go, no, they're not. They're competing in a sport.
Yeah.
It's not like they're street fighting. It's yeah. like, that's just such a, but that's the mentality of a lot of people is that, like, I always hear people go, oh, it's violent. The definition of violence is an act of aggression against an unwilling assailant. Two people who are I mean, you may have a violent yeah. car crash, and that's an adjective.
At very worst, it's consensual violence.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a sport, and, yeah. and it's like when you boxing is far more violent than MMA. Football is far more violent than, I mean, there's far more injury and just brutality in those. UFC is very, I mean, it's very tactical, you know, and there's it's very mental, and it's, people just don't get that. And then you hear the guys talk, and you hear and people, wow, this guy's really smart, and this guy's really articulate. It's like, yeah, he's not an idiot. This guy yeah. is like a, you know, an incredibly well-trained athlete that has to use strategy.
Yes.
People just really, there's such a misconception.
I did morning radio. I don't know if you know him or with Houston Alexander. Am I saying his
yeah,
name right?
Yeah, totally.
So great guy. Same kind of vibe. He's just, you know, I think he's maybe 2 inches taller than me or whatever, but just
huge,
built, just fucking yeah. just mount. And it was funny because I kept doing black jokes on this morning radio show.
Right.
I told them about, and then I had stories about how I was the voice of all the black characters on a video game called Crazy Taxi 3.
Right.
And that the opening line that they had me record was, take me to KFC. And he was doing these bits on the radio. It was great because it was an audio medium,
right,
where he would just be like, okay, you know, oh, really? You think? And then I pretend like he was hitting me and all this stuff on the air,
hilarious.
And everybody's laughing and stuff. But I think at one point, he didn't do me, the sports guy, but he did like a 2 inch just from his shoulder and then hit him. And it was crazy to watch this guy, you know, rock him or whatever.
Right.
But that was another thing. But anyway, the reason I brought it up is that he talked about how he got into fighting and how he said it used to be that he was a bouncer at a club just because he was a big dude naturally. And then he said, and guys would try to pick fights with him and stuff. He'd take him out and he'd just wail on him. And then people were like, dude, you're really good at this, you know? And so he came in and he was like, well, I might as well try and use this. Maybe I can make some money or whatever. He's like, I'm a fighter, you know? And he goes, and then you quickly learn that you're not very good.
Right.
And he, like what you just talked about. And then he said, but he talked about how he recently accidentally hurt himself, I think, sparring or something. So they had to delay the match that he was there to promote.
Right.
But anyway, he talked about his last fight. They brought it up. I, unfortunately, am not familiar, but maybe you know this moment. But he said, you have these moments, and he goes, and everything in MMA is, it can happen in an instant. And he goes, you have to be aware of what's going on, but at the same time, be ready to, like, react and go.
Right.
So he said, I thought at the very beginning of this fight, I had an opening. Like, he wasn't ready for me, and I was going full at him. And I go, and I don't know, but I think he was thinking the same thing, because he has this famous fight, you can look for it on YouTube, where it's like, he lunges in for the guy, and the guy just leaps. And I think he said was like going to, I think, kick me, but I ran right into his knee. Like, he just kneed me in the head. Fight over. Like, like not even 5 seconds in. And he's like, I was out. Like, it was done. Toast. Yeah. I don't remember. Like, it was over, you know? And so I think he at least validated that, where it's like a weird physical chess match.
Yeah.
Especially when you start getting into, like, the ground, like, grappling and stuff like that. Like, it may seem, like, I always think about it to people that are watching it at Buffalo Wild Wings and screaming at the television. Then I'm like, I wonder how many of those people watching it really look at those moments where it just looks like it's two guys in a deep embrace on the ground.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? That seems awkwardly long, that they're like, like, no, there's a lot. Like when I watch NASCAR, people make fun of NASCAR and say, well, you're just turning left. But I'm like, well, no, I can see things. If you're a fan
right.
and you kind of follow it a little bit, you could see the little subtleties of what's really going on and right. appreciate the, you know, more of the racing.
Right.
And I would imagine that you could, as a fan and even a trainer, would appreciate this grappling, the stuff that seems slow. You could see what's really going
oh,
on.
Totally.
Like he's just trying to tire him out or whatever. Am I right on that? Or?
Absolutely. But with the thing that drives me crazy is I would say a good chunk of the quote-unquote fans, I wouldn't call them fans, but don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
And they still think it's, even 20 years later, they still think it's a street fight. And you're
yeah,
allowed to,
that's why they like it. They like the brutal, just, and, you know, bare knuckle. And
I don't know how many times I've been at fights or been at a bar or been somewhere and heard people like, it hits to the ground and they're on the ground for 5 seconds. And here we go, stand them up! Get those faggots off the ground!
Oh my gosh.
It's just like crazy kind of shit. And you're like, they're in an MMA fight. And it's like, well, I want to see them punch each other in the face. Like, then go to a boxing match.
Yeah.
This is not boxing. This is MMA. Like, just crazy. Get them up. Fuck you. They're just screaming. And you're like, why are you at this fight? I don't go to baseball and go, tackle him.
Yeah.
Tackle, you know. It's like, they can't do that in baseball.
You
boo.
Have a bat. Use it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't boo when the guy doesn't hit. Boo. This guy sucks. Like, that's part of the game. It's a slow game. If you like it, you like it. But
yeah.
it's like, part of MMA is going to the ground. That's I would say 50%.
Yes.
I mean, at least it's like by nature. It's like
yes.
you can't say, I don't like this part. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the sport.
And I wonder like how much of the media coverage is based on if there isn't a lot of like the grappling and the jujitsu type wrestling on the ground. They're like, oh, this is a great fight because there was a lot of boxing type, you know.
Right.
Because I remember I heard somebody talk about that it had its own transition, like what you're talking about. When it first started off, it was like younger, nerdy guys that were into martial arts, and that was for them. And then they started getting some bigger guys that were more into wrestling, and that the introduction of wrestling into it kind of evolved
yeah,
it
totally.
Again. Am I right?
Totally,
or,
totally.
I like
yeah.
that this totally turned into like an MMA podcast.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't.
No, no, it's not you. It's me. I mean, I'm the host, and I know nothing about it. But it fascinated me because, and I do think it's relevant even to parenting, is because, like, kind of what we were touching on earlier, is I do think that it is an unfair thing that if your kid learns how to fight. Like, I just feel like there was a time I did not come from that generation, and I got my ass kicked once when I was in junior high because of my mouth. Like, I had, right. there was a guy that moved into my neighborhood, and he it was so stupid. I had a paper out, and he dressed up like a ninja and was climbing around on his roof or whatever, and he was a new kid to the neighborhood, and I honestly thought it was cool, you know, and I was like, I go, hey, Brandon, what are you doing, man? And He didn't talk to me, like, because he was being a silent ninja.
Right, exactly.
He jumped off his roof or did some kind of, like, climb off of his
threw
roof.
Threw a smoke bomb and ended up behind you. What the hell?
I wish. Maybe then we would have been better friends. But because it was just, I was honestly, like, looking at him, like, this is kind of weird. But I'm not a judgmental kid. I wasn't a judgmental kid. I'm not really a judgmental person from my perspective. But anyway,
right.
which is easy to have. But anyway.
And screw anybody who thinks otherwise.
Right. No, yeah, fuck those people. They're pussies. No, but so I was like, what are you doing? And then had those, I only know their size because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but he had these practice size, they weren't actual blades, and he like whips them around in my face doing
right.
all these crazy moves, and then it stops like underneath my chin. And I go, again, what are you doing, man? Like, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you. You're like 13, I'm 11. Like, what?
Right.
Why is this? Why are we doing this game?
Right.
And he goes, I could have just killed you. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm lucky you didn't. Like,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
And then I went and collected for my paper out. And on my way back, he was sparring. We had these two heavyset kids. And, you know, like, if you get a kid with the right genes, like a 5-year-old is the equivalent to a 10-year-old in size. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So the 5-year-old kid was a big kid, but he was a big kid, but he wasn't coordinated. You
right,
know what I mean?
Five.
Like, there's heavyset people that are athletic. You know what I mean?
Right,
that
right.
can happen. That could pull that stuff off. But he's five, and
yeah.
he's big. You know, he didn't take the 10-year-old on because
right.
he was big and he had a little 10-year-old heft to him. He had some, you know, strength,
right.
you know, behind it. So he's wrestling this 5-year-old, and so I come back and I'm like making fun. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, we're sparring. I go, is that really sparring? Because it just looks like you're pushing my friend down. Like, this is just dumb. Like. And so I'd see him at the middle school, and every time I'd see him, I'd go, everybody was kung fu fighting, or have
right.
some kind of joke song.
Right.
I think I'm turning Japanese. I would right. do that kind of stuff to him. Well, one day, I guess he'd had enough of it. Never talked to me about
right.
it. And then I was hanging out over by my friend's house who lived next door to him, and he's like, hey, Justin, come here. We want to talk to you. I was like, all right. So I go over there, and they go, and he goes, I want to show you something. And then, like, him and 8 of his friends, you know, get around me or whatever, and he was like, he goes, these are my friends. I go, hey guys, what's up? Like, I still had no idea why they were circling me. Like, this is how dumb I was as a kid. And I go, what's up? And then he's like, he goes, you got anything funny to say now? I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you making fun of me. I go, dude, you put on ninja pajamas and beat up my 5-year-old friend. I mean, he didn't really beat him up. I go, that's worthy of making fun of you.
Right, like, exactly.
Like, and he's like, well, my friends don't think it's funny or whatever. And I go, they're wrong. I go, that's funny. Exactly. You were wearing black pajamas and wrestling a 5-year-old. That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
if YouTube had existed right now, we'd be.
Yeah. So then he goes, well, we're about to kick your ass or whatever. He's like, or he goes, take off your glasses. And I was like, why do you want me to take my glasses off? He goes, because I don't want to break them when I punch you in the face. And I go, well, let's review. Like, I was obviously a real smart ass as a kid. Even more. I don't think I'm really a smart ass now. But then I was really cocky and big. Like, so I go, well, let's review. If I leave my glasses on, my face does not get punched. So I'm going to leave them on is what I'm going to do. And then I kind of got this vibe. Like, I wasn't badass. Right. Then I started to get scared because there was about 7 of them and 1 of me. And my other friends were, of course, being very good friends and just standing there watching with sauces in their eyes going, oh, shit, like, he's about to get his ass whooped. None of this bullshit ghetto. Like, we grew up in white suburbs. Like, you know, white suburbs never have that. I got your back, bro. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's like, I hope you go with the punch. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I needed some good Latino friends or something who would be there with me, you know. So anyway, I turn around and then one of the friends tries to knee me in the stomach and it caught me in the ribs. So we retreat and hide in the house. But so the moral of the story is that this guy moved away to Fresno and then I'm walking home from school and this is like months had gone by and I turn around to look to cross the street and just in time to see this guy kicked me in the head and it was those kids came and they kicked the crap out of me. Like they had me on the ground like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, it was weird just kicking me. Like I didn't come out like, you know. This is weird. It's only because he was in the news, but Rodney Kinged out. Like it was, but you know, I didn't have any bruise or anything like that. I just huddled up, and most of the kicks, I think, were in my backpack or whatever. But anyway, my point is, I came home. I told my dad, I go, I got my ass kicked. Right. And I go, I need to learn to fight. And my dad looked at me. He's like, well, I don't know how to fight.
Exactly.
I go, well, I want to take karate or something, you know, because also Karate Kid was, I think, in its like sequel
or
something like that. So that's what you think, you know. And so he signed me up for this YMCA class that was just, you know, ended up being total bullshit or whatever. But I feel like that it's something that's missing. That I feel like there was a time, and maybe I'm over, I guess, fantasizing about the 50s or 60s or whatever. There was a time as a man where you had a time where you go out, you'd learn to smoke a cigarette, you'd learn to handle a beer, and you'd learn to throw a punch. You know what I mean?
It's funny because, you know, I watch, it's funny because I'm very irreligious, but I watch, and I don't know why I had to bring that up, but the,
it's not going to bother anybody.
No, it was had to do with my daughter is, she's 7 and she loves the Brady Bunch.
Course.
She got into the Brady Bunch because she watched the Brady Bunch movies.
Oh, like the almost parodies.
Yeah, they are straight up parodies.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she was obsessed with Jan, who is the butt of all the jokes. And she loved Jan, and she walks like Jan and pretends to be Jan. And I'm like, why Jan out of
kids are awesome.
So then she decided, so I said, oh, look, there's a channel, and it's like the Inspiration Channel or something, which is like a Christian channel. Yes. I didn't realize it was until I saw all the commercials where it's, you know. Well, I just TiVo'd or whatever all the Brady Bunch. So now she watches the Brady Bunch, and she just loves it. Brady Bunch and Happy Days, which are on there. So I got her watching Brady Bunch and Happy Days, and I'm like, wow, old shows are cool. But it's funny because they're on the Inspirational Channel. I was talking about this last night with my wife. And because, you know, these are good, wholesome shows. And I'm like,
it's not like you're screening every episode. They just bought them in bulk. I see where you're going.
Every episode on Happy Days, Fonzie's talking about fucking somebody. And it's not even hidden. It's not even hidden. He's like, hey, you know, like she said, what's your favorite pastime? And he's like, whoa, you know, hey. And I'm like, he just said, getting in your pants. That's my favorite fucking pastime. And I'm like, this is the Inspirational Channel. And then
I like to pray. Missionary.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why I turned him into dice.
But you know, what was that? Back when he was funny, Dennis Miller, one of my favorite lines is Dice Clay, come on, folks. What's the big deal? It's Fonzie with Tourette's.
That's a nice closing Dennis Miller impression. Yeah, Tourette's.
but then I'm watching the Brady Bunch where Peter has to learn how to box because the kids... the kid, Buddy Hinton, beats him up, right? Mm-hmm. Is making fun of his little sister, so he sticks up for him, for his sister. Wants to fight. He goes, I don't fight. And then his dad goes, just try to reason with him. You got to reason with him. And so he goes and he reasons, and the guy gives him a black eye. Yeah. So then he goes to the dad goes to talk to the dad, and the dad's like, well, your kid should learn to fight. Your kid's a pussy, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is. And then he goes, and he wants to punch him out and decides not to and leaves. Then the mom goes, and she, and the mom is equally obtuse, and she wants to punch her, and she doesn't. So they go, well, fine, then let's put on some boxing gloves. And they teach Peter how to box.
Uh-huh.
And then Peter kicks the shit out of the kid. And it's
turn
like,
the other cheek.
Yeah,
classic example.
And I'm just like, but that was, but there is something nowadays like, yeah, I mean, you don't want to just teach your kids to be assholes.
No.
But, there is kind of like, we've kind of gotten a little pussy these days where it's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with learning how to defend yourself. And there's no, and there's a point where defending yourself and sticking up for yourself is absolutely the right thing to do. You don't, it doesn't mean you're an aggressor. It means,
I think the opposite happens in that. And I am fully aware that I'm 33 years old. I have two young children. I am not worldly, but I am entitled to have an opinion because I have two microphones and the internet.
Right.
So if you want to send me an email, that's fine. Don't just know that I don't sit here going, I've got it all figured out. That is never my opinion, but I am currently of the theory that the reason why bullying can be an issue or maybe is an issue is because we have this kind of pacifist, you know, way of looking at things instead of it. There's always one bully and 29 other kids.
Right.
How is it that one asshole gets to be an asshole? And in my opinion, it's because we don't have enough, you know, fuck offs or screw you or, you know, we don't, other than in the car, you know, you don't flip anybody off. Like, I feel like there needs to be a vibe. If you're being a dick, people need to be told you're being a dick.
Right. Totally.
Stop it. And, you know, if I can't kick your ass, then there needs to be four or five, you know, the opposite of my friends when I was 10 years old. Saying, you know, there needs to be eight of us going, quit being an asshole.
But it's this whole, it's like a grander thing, though, in society where the bullying thing in general, like there's so many, and I get it all the time with the MMA gym. People want, you want to be part of our anti-bullying campaign? And, you know, and would you come and talk and all this kind of stuff? And it's like, my daughter always will tell me about bullying. Oh, someone bullied me or someone bullied this and bullied that. And you know, she knows I'm joking, but I'll say something like, oh, I'll choke her ass out. You know, whatever, I'm just kidding around. And she'll laugh, but it's like, but the funny thing
Dad,
is, like,
I'm not going to get paid.
Yeah, exactly. But the funny thing is like, I find that I'm like kind of trying to like argue with, I'm not arguing with my 7-year-old daughter, but it drives me nuts because I look at what they consider bullying now and they're bullying me. And I go, well, what did she say? Or what did she do? Well, she said she doesn't like my hair. Well, and I'm like, that's not bullying. And then I look at the little pamphlet. If someone doesn't like you, they're a bully or whatever. It's like, no, that's not a bully. Like, you're completely watering down the idea of, like, anything is bullying now.
Yes.
And it's like, no bullying. And then kids are getting sent to the office for bullying. And it's like, well, he didn't really bully. Bullying is... It used to mean something. Like it was like there were specific bullies. Now it's like anybody who disagrees, anyone who says, I don't really want to play with you.
Yes.
Kids don't have to play with every kid. That doesn't mean they're a bully. Like it's crazy now where it's like everything is bullying and everybody has to find a way to passively stand up against a bully. And it waters down the whole thing. And to me, it's like, let's make bullying, the criteria for bullying, actual bullying, and then let's make the answer for that maybe a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff that isn't bullying is difference of agreement that you can reason with and talk with. So yeah, you don't agree with this and she doesn't like you because of this, and let's talk that out.
Yeah.
But if this kid is a dick and he's pushing kids around and he's, you know, taking their lunch money or whatever, if that even happens anymore, then yeah, somebody should go, you know, punch that kid in the face or take him down.
I want to get Caesar Milan pack theory on their ass. That's what I want to do.
Exactly.
I want to drop these bully-ass kids off at his fucking compound in the Inland Empire with a bunch of pit bulls and let them put his ass in check. That's
exactly
what I think would be happen. Just to let him sit there and do his to the kid for 4 or 5 days, and the kid comes back and it's fine. You know what I mean?
My daughter does that all the time now. We do
nothing
that.
Has better been invented that is better for a marriage than the Caesar Milan with the two finger poke to the throat. My brother loves that. When that came out, that was the best thing ever because it gave him a more condescending way to try to shut his wife up. And God forbid, the first time that he did that, it threw her for a loop. Just to add to your joy. Now he's just happier about it. Like, it works.
My wife and I do that as a joke. You know what's funny is one of the guys, a friend of mine. I met him because we had we had three dogs, mm-hmm. and we decided to find a home for one, and the other one, my wife's brother's, and we took him for years, and because he didn't have a place for him, he had got a place, so we took him back. So we kept our one dog when we had our daughter, and we're like, we don't want three big giant dogs running around with a newborn. Yeah. That's just, you know. So we said, well, we want to get this one really under control. So I tried to call Cesar Millan, and they turned me on to this other guy who is his protege, like one of the guys, I guess one of the very few guys that he actually is authorized to teach his system or whatever. And this, and since we've been good friends, but, and he actually does a lot of behavior stuff, and he actually works with some of my fighters sometimes because it's all about presence in the room. And mm-hmm. he did it with me where it's like, every time we talk, he'd be like, see how your arms are folded? He goes, right now I know that you're passive. He goes, see how you said that word? You should say it this way because this is more forceful. Yeah. And you're saying, well, it's, you know, if you don't mind, and no, you just say it this way. This is what I want.
Yeah.
And just little things like that, body language and you know, and I'm sitting in a room with all of his dogs that he's rehabilitating, and it's like a giant pit bull that just killed another dog has jumped in my lap, and he goes, don't look at him. Just keep talking to me. Don't look at him. Just don't look at him. And there's this dog 10 minutes sitting on my lap with his face, and I'm just carrying on a conversation about UFC with this giant dog that just killed another dog, and he's like, we just got to ignore
him. Don't look at him.
But the funny thing is...
Is it okay if I pee myself? Exactly. Can he smell that?
Yeah, exactly. But he came into my house, and my dog was going crazy. My dog's a nice dog, but just a nut, just all over the place.
Happy, like, yeah.
Yeah, and we have this little area where it's the dog room, it's our laundry room, and we have a little baby gate that keeps them from coming into the house. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody comes over into our kitchen, the dogs go crazy and they'll come to the gate and they'll bark and they'll want the guy, to whoever it is, to come pet him, and they won't shut up until somebody pets him. Dude walks into my house, first time he walks in, and dog barking, going crazy, and he walks into the kitchen, he goes, snaps his finger, and my dog walks over to the other side of the room and lays down.
Isn't that
badass? And my wife and I looked at each other, we're like, get the fuck out of here. How did you do? And then we just proceeded to talk in the kitchen for probably 30 minutes. And the dog tried to get up once, and he went, and he laid back down. And then the dog was laying, panting, explained to me later, he goes, it's more work for them to try to keep their mind. So he goes, the dog is panting as
because
if he
he's
just
tired.
Ran.
Yeah.
Because he's tired mentally. So he's like panting, whatever. And he's wagging his tail, and he goes, like that, and my dog, just to tell him to stop wagging his tail, stop making any noise, and my dog stopped mid-wag.
Wow.
And set his tail down and laid there for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he just walked into my house and went like that, and the dog went over and sat in the corner. And
yeah.
I was like, didn't say anything. Like, it's unbelievable, that guy.
Well,
like,
I saw my first, this is funny, because I do think it ties into parenting in that we were those people that decided to have a dog to almost like practice for parenting.
Right,
you know what I mean? So we had this dog and we started watching The Dog Whisperer because that's who we are. Like when we were going to have family, we read books and all that stuff. You
watch
know.
The Octomom.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Oh my gosh. Studied her theories immensely.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, so he had this great thing where there's this dog who used to freak out about a tennis ball, a little chihuahua. And it was like one of the second episodes I'd seen or something like that. And the dog started coming, and he snaps his fingers at it, and he puts his finger out, and the dog, and he just follows the dog with his finger, and right. The dog is like freaking out, but won't come towards him, but like is also wanting the ball, and like has all this nervous energy. And then the dog, as he's walking, you could see it kind of calm down a little bit. And all he does is when the dog stops, he puts his finger down, and this dog that they couldn't get to come sit or just sits down, like patiently and waiting for the ball. And the guy just walked in the room. We're like, how pissed would you? Like, I was like, that guy just Jedi mind trick a chihuahua.
Right.
That is now I really want to see this Animal Planet show. If you haven't heard of this, is this guy who does cats. Now I'm gonna T-boat after we're done here. Because this guy, like, I just want to, cats are so different.
Right.
And I, what I like is that, sure, he would occasionally maybe get bitten or whatever by right. a Lhasa Apso, you know what I mean, like, or whatever those dogs are, you know, but they were a Maltese. There was always yeah. some Beverly Hills dog that would bite him. My favorite, though, were the Chihuahuas. Anytime Cesar Millan had a Chihuahua, there's this great episode where he just had this Chihuahua pinned to his leg and it's, and it's
just calm talking. Now what you need to do here, see, he's going to do this for a while, and you're
you kind of secretly want to see him do that with like a Great Dane type situation, but it's so funny to watch a little chihuahua because a little chihuahua thinks it's so badass. But anyway, So this guy with cats, I just like the idea of the cats have, because with a cat, they scratch the living crap out of him. And he, you know what I mean? And he doesn't go in with gloves on. He's like the wild man or whatever, the turkey man or what's he called? Oh, turtle man. My kid loves that show too. But anyway, like he goes, he's barehanded and these cats are just scratching the hell up. So anyway, I don't know why I said that, but I have to watch that show. That reminded me of it. But here's my point. I think that it would be nice to have some kind of kid whisperer situation, have somebody be able to walk in, and this could fix bullying. You got a bully, then we bring in a Cesar Millan type person for kids who just, you know, who are you? You know what I mean? And I think in our culture that we kind of, we do that with almost like boot camp type, type stuff. Some kind of, what's that guy's name that was on Full Metal Jacket, does all, the, any kind they need a
Arlie movie. Ermey?
Yeah, yeah. Arlie Ermey.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I need, we need, here's what we need to do. We need to clone Arlie Ermey and give him, he needs to be doing the yard duty jobs.
Right. Exactly.
He needs to be the guy on the playground of every school in America, every public school. If you don't like it, take your kid to a private school or charter school, that's fine. But Arlie Ermey is going to be on every public school in America, a clone of him yelling and calling your kids pus-filled maggots and stuff like that so they don't feel so good about themselves with their cell phones and their Facebook profiles.
I think swearing at them in general will work.
I think
just Clint Eastwood them a little bit. Like, and a kid just walk over and go, you got a fucking problem? Like, you know. I'm gonna go sit over there on that bench for the remainder of this.
Because I feel like I hope that there are parents that are listening to this that kind of can relate. Is that as much as I know, I think it's great that we're self-aware and we love our kids in a different way that seems more whole and more complete. There's an aspect, and I keep bringing this up on the show lately, and it's because it's what's going on in my life. There's an aspect of old school parenting that I really wish I'd been a part of. You know, a little bit of like, I don't, what you're saying doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Just like the madman dismissed, like, you don't.
Because no.
I mean, as much as I think it's funny, I get a lot of, you know, because isn't an answer from my kid. A lot of repeating my own isms to me, which I felt like because I don't hit him, like I give timeouts. That's what we do. Whereas my father would knuckle me on the head. You know what I mean? So when you get knuckled on the head, you don't tend to repeat what your father says back to you too often. I don't know, like, were you hit when you were a kid?
A little bit. Not crazy, but I did get spanked. You know, like sometimes with toys.
Well, and here's the thing too. This is what I think is funny. Is like you, it's kind of like, is it what, like what you were saying with the bullying thing? Do you feel like you have to say, like, would you define my dad giving me a little knuckle or thumping me on the head? Would that be crazy? I'm not gonna be upset.
No, I don't think. Yeah, no. I think there is. I don't think there's one specific answer. I think that there are times that probably a little swat on the ass is not.
I think it's the intent, right?
But it's like when I hear these guys go, you know, no time out, man. When I was a kid, I got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
And my parents used to punch me in the face. It's like, well, okay, that's bad. And you've been to jail 4 times, so it didn't work. You know what I mean? It's like at some point,
yes.
But on the other hand,
I'm not, yeah, you're right. I'm not getting up on a soapbox about spanking.
But I think there are times, I mean, I've definitely threatened. I don't know that I've actually done it. And there's, you know, there's like
they you probably got to get her in an arm bar or something. You can't just swat her on the butt. You gotta block off at least one of her aortas.
The carotid arteries.
But
the thing is, like, it's like, you know, they say that, like, the, and obviously it doesn't actually work for dogs, as we know with the dog whisperer. But, like, you know, and I remember people used to say that it was the, when they, you know, swatted a dog on the butt with a newspaper, that the newspaper doesn't hurt. It was the attention and the sound. Like, you could get the same thing by swatting your hand.
Or shaking a can of pennies. That was a thing, I remember.
And I think that there's something where, too, you know, that little thump on the head.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe it hurts a little bit, but it's not really a violent act in the sense. It's almost an attention getter. Like, a little swat on the butt, like, hey, pop, knock it off, is not the same as bending your kid over, pulling down their pants, and pulling out a belt and whipping them. That's a weird, violent, sadistic thing. But a light spank to, like, kids freaking hysterical, and it's like, hey, it's something that they fear, even though there's no reason. Spanking really doesn't hurt that bad if you just give a little swat, like, or the little thump on the head. It doesn't necessarily hurt that bad, but kids are scared shitless of that. Yes. I was scared shitless of my grandpa thumping me in the head. Like, his fingers were, like, it's like getting hit with a, you know, a baseball batter, but it wasn't.
My
really
dad had
that,
these huge, like, monkey gorilla hands, and it hurt. But I remember, like, my father would be a great, like, terrorist interrogator, because here's how I know that, and I think you're right, in that there is What I'm kind of taking from what you're saying is that I think the intent, what is the intent of it? Is the intent just because I've had a few, shots of Jaeger and right. I feel like roughing somebody up, so I'm going to go right. get my stepkid in the corner? No, yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. But my father, what happened, I was two and I bit a kid, or maybe one or something, but I bit a kid, like two little right. toddlers can't really, I think it was like one, and I bit a kid.
He was wearing a ninja suit. No kidding.
And my dad, because the kid started crying, my dad, because it was quick, he just had this reflex of reaching out, thumping me in the head. And he said, I instantly let go of the kid and turned around and made eye contact with him. And my dad goes, and that's when I knew that was your thing. And I was like, yeah. My thing? I go, this is thing. Bullshit. That's unfair. I don't know. I didn't know psychologically that's what I was setting myself up for. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So he knew that that's what got my attention.
With my niece. That was your thing, though. And yeah,
exactly right. Cracking a 2x4 over my skull. You know, exactly. That could have been it for all I know.
And then I realized when you were unconscious, that was your thing. It worked for you.
Yeah, if he had a ball peen hammer within arm's length, that could have been, I could have been dead by now.
Could have been your thing. At least he's calling you lumpy, that's for sure.
But he figured out. He has like this awareness with my niece. He knew that it was removing her from whatever social situation was happening. So he, because my mom tried swatting her hand. She was barely one, and she reached out for the stereo. My mom told her no, did the polite thing, had this big build. And it's even funnier if you know my niece, because she's, she's got a little bit of a wild side. It's funny to watch her grow older, and she's going to start high school, and she's kind of, calmed down a lot, which you would think would be the opposite. But anyway, right. My mom just kind of gave her a little pat on the hand, and this chick, little girl, little baby girl, still in a diaper, looked at my mom in the eyes like, oh, you want to dance? Okay, let's dance, Grandma. Let's do this.
That's and reach hilarious.
Doesn't break eye time, reaches out for the stereo again. So my mom, it was like a funny Portuguese standoff. Because right. My stepmom's Portuguese. Like I felt like this whoa 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 should be playing in the background, or some maybe Kung Fu, the pan flutes or right. something, going on. Because they both look at each other, she reaches and my mom hits her a little harder in the hand, and she pulls it back and she goes, that was just no talking, just that right, was just, nothing. Yep, reaches yep. right back again. So my mom grabs the arm and really goes in and gets her good.
Right.
And she pulls it back and kind of rubs it with her hand, still looking her in the eyes, goes right back in again.
Wow. That wasn't her thing.
That wasn't her thing. You could hit her. She had my brother literally, unintentionally, obviously, but he took her to a discovery zone, set her on his lap while doing the rope swing right. and accidentally snapped her femur. Like when he squeezed his legs, he just wasn't aware of it and snapped her femur on using the rope as leverage. Right. The kid went like that, but didn't cry. Didn't scream, wow. Didn't do anything. So the kid's walking around with a cracked femur, and they didn't understand. She just learned to walk, but so she would get up and then fall down. They're like, oh, well, I wonder why she can't walk here at Discovery wow. Zone. And it wasn't until maybe 10, 15 minutes later that her leg swelled up to twice the size of the other leg that they're like, oh, crap, we got something's right. wrong. So they took her to the hospital. Child Protective Services had to be called in because they were like, oh. What? The kid had tore up her leg, because she was right, walking right. around and stuff. It's all so swollen. And,
right.
And nobody knew wow. what had happened. Everybody was saying, I don't know, which sounds, abusive is what
right,
they thought.
Right, totally.
So that's what my dad realized.
She fell down the stairs.
Yeah. So my dad realized pain was not her thing. But if you take her out of the room where everybody is hanging out and talking, she has a mental breakdown. Like your dog panting. Right. Right. She doesn't know what to do when you put her by herself. And right. so that was what my dad would do to get her. Never had a problem with her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because we're still trying to figure out, my daughter, she's really good, but when she has the rare meltdown,
yeah,
it's almost like crazy, inconsolable anxiety, panic yeah. attacks. And sometimes we look at each other like, do we need a psychiatrist?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, maybe if this happened every day, but this happens once every 6 months. It's not, but yeah, we've tried different things work different times. But
has she always had it, or is it just recently?
I think she's always had it, but it's yeah. so
my son does that.
It's He'll so infrequent these, yeah. that it's like, oh, I guess that was just a phase. Oh, yeah. No, it's back.
Oh, it's back.
Oh, but it's
like a comet. It's that kind of phase.
Exactly. Once every 7.5 weeks. But we one thing that works is sometimes taking away her toys.
Yeah.
They used to work a lot where it's like, okay, we're taking away all of your toys for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay. You know?
She knows, yeah.
And it's like, so other things.
Sorry, Jacob just walked downstairs. That's my son, Jacob. Jacob cool. Ian Jacob.
Hi.
He likes to watch the podcast.
Oh, cool. Got some cute kids.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's I think different things work different times, but yeah, I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm not opposed to anything. I mean, I don't want to say anything. There are sure things I'm opposed to, but I think that we, you know, oh, you can never spank or discipline in certain ways anytime. It's kind of like, you know, I think if it's out of violence and frustration, that's going to teach them to do that sort of stuff out of violence and frustration. And that, and it's not so much the act as it is the intention behind the act, why you're doing it. That's what they read into. And that's what kids are going to emulate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, like they say a lot of times you hear, I mean, I'm not one who advocates this necessarily, but you see, I've heard old people go, oh, don't worry about telling them not to touch the stove. They'll touch it once.
Yeah.
Then they'll never touch it again.
Old people love to tell you a ways to abuse your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
In a way that sounds cold and heartless. Like,
see this scar? That's how I learned never to talk to
it. Touch a knife.
Yeah, exactly.
And over here on my thigh, that's where I learned not to play with a soldering iron.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's see this one? Emaciated piece of flesh on my left finger? That's where I learned never to marry.
But I think, you know, they say that emotion is, or all memory, or memory is mostly associated with and to emotion.
Yes.
And emotion.
I've literally read that in a psychology book about child development, that's what our memories are based on, an emotional attachment.
Yeah, your strongest memories are based on your strongest emotions.
Yep.
So, and they're recreated. All memories recreated. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think a lot of that is you know, if you really want them to kind of summon the stick is what's the emotion behind. And that's why, you know, touching the stove, that's an immediate, that's like, it's not just a little, oh, don't do that. There's something really too. Now, I touched a stove when I was 2 and holy crap, I'm never doing that again.
And it's so crazy too, because there is, I think at the heart of what they're trying to say, there is that element that I found that no matter how much you explain, no matter how much you try to talk, there's just a level of understanding that cannot be communicated verbally, that experience. This is what I used to have a fight. I remember when I was a teenager having this fight with my dad where he'd be like, I try to tell you not to do this stupid stuff and you don't listen. And I go, well, Dad, maybe some things I just have to figure out on my own. You know what I mean? And I still need to talk to my dad about that, because looking back at that, I do think that that's kind of what really has to happen, that there's certain things that you literally have to fuck up on your own in order for you to really get it at its core. And then the other thing that I was thinking too, what you were saying is that an interesting thing that has come out of doing this podcast for me is that it's like, remember that Time magazine? I was talking about this with friends, with the lady breastfeeding her like 3 or 4 year old kid or whatever. Totally. Yeah. So one of the things I was talking about that with my friends or whatever, and I said, this is what I think is interesting about that, is that the reason why that is even a point of conversation is that even as long as our civilization has been around, parenting and raising our own children seems to be one of the biggest things that we don't have a grasp on.
Right.
As a society, as a culture. Like, there are huge issues, that, you know, like violence, like you talk about. War, we figured out ways to fight wars and what are supposed to be. We have parameters and rules and the best way to do it. We have tactics, strategies, murder. We all know, everybody agrees that the only reason to kill anybody is if it's in self-defense. That's, everybody universally gets that. You know what I mean? But there are all these levels of parenting that you can't sit everybody down and go, oh yeah, well you shouldn't do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no way, as much as I sit there and go, that's not what I would do. I would, that would creep me out to have my kid be 5 years old. Or I've even seen videos of, like, there's like a British family or whatever that I saw a video on YouTube of like an 8 and a 9 year old kid breastfeeding on their mother. And then, and it's just, to me, and maybe, I don't know if it's cultural, I don't care, but it's like, to me, I'm like, that would be weird for me. But you don't know. Maybe those kids grow up to be well-adjusted and prime minister. Well, we don't know.
And that's the thing is to me, too, is that you get that a lot, especially with, you know, just laws in general where you're trying to figure out what is, I don't even know how to put this, but when you have, like, what constitutes abuse? Like you said, like CPS or whatever coming in, you know, Child Protective Services, what is, like, nowadays, everyone's so sensitive about stuff. Oh, the kid has a black eye. Well, they're going to call Child Protective Services. Like, well, my kids had multiple black eyes, and never once has it been from anything. It's always from her running into a door, her slipping and falling on a luggage rack at the airport. It had nothing to do. But, you know, there are some people that would immediately call somebody and bring them in and whatever. But it's the weird thing to me is that what we, on one hand, we want to have that freedom to raise our children.
Yes.
And that is important and imperative that we have that, because if one person deems something wrong, the other person can deem something else wrong.
Yep.
And so that's very hard. But on the same token, when you look at these kids that are 2 years old and they're, you know, 80 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And you go, at what point do are we allowed to go, yeah, okay, we're taking your kid away and putting it on a diet. Your kid, yep, shouldn't be eating 4 Big Macs a day, mm-hmm, at 6 months old. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think someone with your background, like you train MMA, like that's something that you would see and look at and go, that's insane. Like that, right, that to me is abuse.
Right.
You know what I mean? But obviously, you've seen a ton of those. They used to be all the time on daytime television. You see these moms like, well, she's crying. She's hungry. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's, and they, I'm not arguing with you.
No, but maybe they don't. Yeah, and that's it. Maybe they don't have the skills.
Yes.
But then again, if you come
in. I think that's always the case. You don't have the tools.
And give that person some skills to maybe understand why their kid's crying, then are you violating that again? I mean, yeah, to me, like I said, with my whole thing with all my comedy and thing now is religious based, and I'm like, you know, I like to look at people's beliefs, not, yeah, just I say religion. I mean religious thinking, but it's like it could be anything from astrology to psychics, anything that people believe fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, sometimes when I hear stuff that people 90% of the country believes, to me, I go, wow, that's, from my perspective, that would be abuse.
Yes.
Telling a kid who's not old enough to make a decision on their own, but force them in some level a belief that I see as crazy or irrational, or even if it isn't, even, mm-hmm, if it's completely rational, you're telling this kid it's a fact when you know for a fact that it's not a fact.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, yeah, that we're allowed to do that, but, yeah, it's your kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I don't want to take that away from you. I would never be this guy who goes, you have to teach your kid what I want. But it's weird to me that people aren't responsible enough to go, you know what, I believe that, but maybe my kid doesn't want to believe that. Maybe when I get older, maybe when my kid gets older, he or she will want to believe something different. Or,
mm-hmm.
So I'll refrain from giving them anything that is fuzzy.
Yeah.
Until either all the facts are in or until that person's old enough to decipher them themselves. But people don't think about that. And
no.
From my perspective, whether it's religious or whether it's what you can eat or what, any time that people are doing that and telling young kids this is a fact when we all know it's not, it makes me want to smack them. But I won't do anything because I realize that's... You know, that's
not your area. That's your jurisdiction.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Yeah,
it's a weird personal violation. It's
It's a freedom thing. It's like, you know, it drives me nuts again about with in regards to religion is the exact same thing. I don't understand how very religious people don't understand that protecting other religions and non-religious people's rights protects their rights.
Yes.
I find that so strange when I'm arguing with somebody and they're like, well, you're stepping on my Christmas. No, as a matter of fact, I'm letting you have Christmas.
Yeah.
You're not letting me have non-Christmas.
Yeah.
Like I hear somebody go, well, I got to say happy holidays now. No, you don't. But
yeah.
If I do, that doesn't mean I'm stealing Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
It just means that I don't believe in Christmas.
Yeah.
Like I don't just walk up to people and go, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not Jewish. So I said happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And if you're not Jewish, then you're stealing Hanukkah. Well, no. But forcing Christmas on Jewish people is bad.
Yeah.
And I never understand like how people can go, cannot see that. Go look, if you let everybody have theirs, you get yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you let everybody have yours, eventually someday you might not get yours.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
Which I think kind of goes back to almost bring this full circle, like what we were talking about even with the bullying thing, that it's not bullying just because you don't agree or don't like. You know what
right.
I mean? That I think what we could do is teach our kids tolerance, which I think is already there. Like that's
right.
the idea. And that maybe I would like to institute some form of test in order to create life. I think that just about every parent with kids
yes.
has looked at it. You know, even I would take that test, and if I failed,
right.
I maybe wouldn't like it on the other side. But being on this side of the fence,
right.
I even say it in my act now, where it's like, I think you should have to take a test to create life because I'm pretty sure I have no business doing it.
Right.
Having done it and done it twice now, I'm like, you know what? I think as much as I would hate it, just like I would hate what my father was trying to tell me when I was a teenager, there needs to be some kind of system in place
right.
because we just. Well, here's what we don't want. We don't want people having kids that are also, like, I heard a story on another podcast about a mom who had a 3-year-old and a can of gasoline in the backseat of her car, and only one was strapped into the car seat. And obviously, since we're talking about it, it's the can of gasoline.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not who should be creating life. None of us,
right.
even her, that's what I'm saying. Even she would probably go, yeah, sure, tie my tubes, and then maybe
right.
later on I'll change
right.
my mind. Some kind of equivalent that makes it easier for her. You
it's
know?
Funny, because, like, I would say... Yeah, like on one hand, though, you go, well, then who designs the test?
Exactly.
What if it's some crazy liberal who don't like me, you know, or whatever. It's like, you don't know who's going to design
the test. There is no perfect answer. Yeah.
But what I do think would be good is you should have to go through even a basic psychological profiling,
yes.
And then you should have to get a license for each kid.
Yes.
Like, you have to get a license to get married. You have to get a license to drive. You have to have a license to start a business.
I agree.
So you come in and you go, I want to apply for a child's license. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's your license. Yes, you have enough money for one child. Then when you come back for a second and third and 200th child, they can go, you don't have the money right now. You don't qualify for this home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't qualify for this child.
Yep. The Duggars are no longer on television.
Yes, exactly. It's like, and then you can go, you don't get a license for that. But then I guess the problem becomes,
then it's not America.
What happens
free.
If there's an
now we're China.
And then what if there's an accidental child that you is unlicensed?
Now we're going to be like the Spartans and we're going to throw it in a well.
Yeah, exactly. What happens to that?
But
unlicensed?
We would all have glistening apps, so maybe it's worth it. I don't know.
Which is my favorite. I love the accidental pregnancy thing. Always cracks me up because my wife and I have been together in September. It'll be 22 years, mm-hmm. and we were together 13 years. Then we got married, so 9 years married. And when we decided to have a kid, the first time we tried, pregnant.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying that that's like that with everybody. I just realize some people have
people struggle.
Have
difficulty. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people are so people have difficulty. And I could say nobody's had an easier time than us.
Yes.
And yet, for 13 years, we never had an accident.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, because, and every time I hear about these accidents, it's like, so you mean you got drunk and screwed up? That's not an accident.
Nope.
Like, it's almost, I would be willing to bet, like, even the people that describe it, and you go, oh, that seems kind of like an accident. Aside from, like, a condom breaking or some kind of that 0.2% of the pill not working or whatever, for the most part, all these accidents are not accidents, but you just didn't plan properly.
Right, because you have an awareness of biology.
No right.
That's a given. There's also, you know, so an accident needs to imply some kind of quote-unquote act of God or Murphy's Law type element to it. It can't be, because
you took provisions.
And I'm guilty of this
and they
myself.
Didn't work.
Jack, that one right there sitting in the high chair, he could be quote-unquote deemed an accident in that. But it's this pompous thing that I think white people do a lot, is that it's like, well, we're not trying to not try. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing that you know, we say. And so we had agreed that, or she had wanted another child. I had said, okay. And so we were going to let, you know, the quote unquote fates or the stars of Jupiter kind of decide for, which is bullshit. You know what I mean? And so, of course, the way it works out is about a week or so before she's like, maybe one is enough. And then 7 days later, hey, I'm pregnant. So, yeah, but I agree. And you even mentioned like the psychology evaluation. I think what that gave me the idea is that I think that we have classes about health, like in biology. I think that in high school, instead of I took the biggest bullshit home economics class in the world.
Right.
And there were some like statistic things here's what I think we should replace those with: child psychology. I think you should, even if you're going to talk about how your stupid teenage brain is being, growing while you're a teenager.
Right.
I think that's going to help. And for sure, there's always going to be idiots. No matter what, we're not going to eradicate those. But imagine how many kids are going to have a little bit of an, oh, maybe my parents aren't jackasses and this is just a developmental phase. And you kind of create some kind of other person explaining to them what's really going on.
Right.
And then they have all these other examples of validation where they can look at a 4-year-old child and go, oh, he's doing this right now or she's doing that
now.
And then it also gives, like what we talked about earlier, I think it gives you tools to where you can then decide what you want to do, and it gives you an awareness. Because I feel like so many of us, whether we're good at it or bad at it, we're all struggling nonetheless. Everybody always has that moment in their parenting career where it's just like, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And I'm just, you hit your knees, whether you're religious or not, and you're like, I hope and pray. Because it is. It's a weird crap game that you don't find out if you won until 30 years later. Like, you don't know. You don't know how you did. And there's all these variables besides the dips in the table. You know what I mean? There's all these other variables that can happen when you're not even around. Like, the kid could leave at 20 and then go to college and find some cool friend, and then their life changes. And you're like, I couldn't do anything about that, you know? But wow, look at, holy crap, time flew by, Ian.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm the host of this show, but I'm enjoying it. So let's wrap it up. We'll do a little moment of the week. This is where we'll share a little moment that we had, because we kind of complained like we just did about being parents, talk about how hard it is. So we'll share a nice little touching moment. And for me, I'll get to share it in front of my kids. So we'll play this little thing because I have it. It's sponsored.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I'll go first. My moment of the week that I had, I'll do my oldest son first, is Jacob. For anybody who follows me on the Twitter or even the show on the Twitter, it's at Dad Podcast. I've tweeted that he started preschool and he's doing great. We love the preschool that we take him to, but he doesn't. He has the moment in the morning where he doesn't like to go or whatever. But one of my favorite things that has been happening every day. And I'm sure everybody who's been through this time or whatever, that did your daughter go to preschool or
yeah,
no?
Yeah,
yeah. Totally. So it's this great weird thing where you drop them off and you leave them for 3 hours, which is like bittersweet to a certain extent. And then, but I don't know if you had this happen with you and your daughter, but it was so great when I come and you open that gate and they see you and they come running at you and you get to have that almost like movie-esque leaping hug, you know, right, or whatever. Right. And then they wrap everything around you. It's one of my favorite things now is picking them up from school. With Jack, there's it's still this thing that he has, and I've talked about it a little bit, but I do find it very adorable, is that he has he's grunting at me now because he knows I'm talking about him. But he has this thing where he likes to cook. Like, he likes to, I have to set him, as dangerous as it is, in order for me to cook dinner, I have to set him up there next to the stove, and I just watch him, because he won't stop screaming if I put him down on the ground. So, but if I set him up there, he doesn't get into anything. He just has to hold a cooking spoon
right.
in his hand and then kind of bang it on the counter. He occasionally wants to put it in the rice that I'm making on the stove, but right. I have to tell him no, and he's well-behaved, just sits there and does his thing, but he has to be involved in cooking, and to me, it's cute. Yeah, I'm talking about you, big guy. But anyway, so that's been a lot of fun. And so how about you now, Ian? Do you have a moment of the week you would like to share with you and your daughter?
Oh, geez.
Doesn't even have to be this last week, if it, so you know.
Okay, I'll tell you, this is relevant to my, it's just, like I said, I my whole thing is about skepticism.
Yes.
I'm working on this comedy special, and it's all about skepticism, people's beliefs. And I was talking to a friend, on the phone, my daughter's in the car, and of course she knows I'm a comedian, so she knows that, so she thinks everything, and she thinks I'm funny anyway, so she thinks everything I say is funny. So I was trying to work on this bit, and I was trying to think about a bit. I'm like, I want to do a bit about, just about the original sin. I'm like, that's such a weird concept. I know a lot of people have talked about the idea of, like, you know, Adam and Eve and this kind of stuff. I want to do something about that. And I was talking to a friend about it, hung up the phone, she goes, Dad, what's original sin? Because we're not religious, because she has no idea. Yeah. So I tried to explain to her. I go, well, I don't know how to explain it. I go, it's because you don't really know the story. I go, let me just... So I made up this whole analogy, like, you know, about her, and you do this, and you know, and I was trying to be funny with it. I go, okay, you know, you're not supposed to put your fingers in your food. And, okay, well, what if I say I'm going to punish everybody else in the world for putting your fingers in your food? Now I'm just going to punch people in the face for putting, because you put your fingers in your food. And then later on, I make up this whole story it, like, right, about trying to make an analogy. She's laughing her ass off. She goes, that's so funny. She goes, that's funny. But I want to know the real, tell me the story.
Quit doing this analogy bullshit.
So I said, fine. So I go, okay. And this is how I broke it down to her. I go, all right. In this particular religious book that I was talking to my friend about, I go, the Bible, I go, the God created these two people, Adam and Eve, and told them, you know, don't eat from the forbidden fruit of knowledge on this tree. And if you do, then I'm going to punish you and everybody else for eternity. And then a talking snake comes in and tells them, go ahead, it's fine. She does. He punishes them for eternity. And then I go, and then several thousand years or a few million, depending on whose book you go by, God decided, wait a second, I might be being a little bit irrational by sending everybody to hell for these two people eating an apple. So he decides, I'm going to have a son and murder him. And then that, and I'm just making this thing, and I'm telling this whole thing, and so that they can, so that I don't have to punish people for these two people, you know, and I'd like tell it, you know, as simple but as yeah. accurately as possible.
Trying
and
to I'm give done. The cliff notes.
Yeah, right. And I'm done. And she laughs her ass off. She goes, "Dad, quit kidding around and tell me the real story." And I go, "That's the appropriate response." And I started laughing because I'm like, there's a bit that I was like sitting there trying to think, like, how am I going to write a bit? Yeah, I'm like, my daughter just said, "Hey, what's the real story?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's a good one." And I was like,
she gave you the punchline and everything.
Yeah, right? It's a pretty. So I love that story because it's like, it's absolutely true. And it's like, I was like, wow, that was great.
That's awesome. Well, you could follow Ian Harris at Twitter, and his Twitter handle is at Comedioker. I will put that in the description for the spelling, but you can also like him on the Book of Faces at facebook.com/comedioker as well. This is what I think is exciting. We were talking about it before you turned the mics on. You've been talking about like your skepticism about beliefs and everything. So you're doing a 1-hour special that you're taping. Haven't worked out all the details of location and everything, but what I think is really interesting is that because we're in the year of the Mayan calendar, the world is supposed to end on December 21st
right.
this year or whatever. So what you're doing is you're going to start your taping at 12:01
right.
on December 22nd of 2012.
Exactly.
Essentially after the world has ended.
Exactly.
So either you're going to be right or wrong. Adam Carolla right. has a great bit about this where he's like, anytime somebody comes out and says the world is going to end on this day, he said, I'm okay with them doing that. I just want to be able to put a shotgun at their head that right. is going to go off at that time that they said. And if they right. believe that that's what's going to happen,
yeah.
then no problem. No yeah, problem. Exactly. Get up on your pulpit and go for nuts. Yep.
Exactly. Sign your house over.
So I think you are kind of putting your money where your mouth is. Is that you're saying, well, my big hour special is set to debut after the world is over.
Right, exactly.
That's ballsy. I like it.
Yes.
I am going to be, I think I had some dates move around or whatever, but yeah, just go to justincomedy.com. You can see all my dates. I'm going to be in Sunnyvale, Huntington Beach coming up here soon, the next couple months. What else do I have? And then Raleigh at the end of the year, and then Birmingham. So I'm going to be all over Sacramento right after Thanksgiving. Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Please go to thedadpodcast.com and click through the Amazon banner that we have. Anytime you're picking up something from Amazon, doesn't cost you anything. All it does is help me make a little bit of money doing this show. And please keep telling your friends. There's underneath each episode, if you're a big fan of, like, say, this episode with Ian Harris, if you go to thedadpodcast.com, there are links underneath each episode that say email this. And you could email this to all your friends, or you can even share it on your Facebook page. And I really appreciate it. Some of you guys have been retweeting it if you're on the Twitter, but we've really noticed a lot of success on the other podcasts that I do about video games, where people have been helping us to spread the word and getting like the reach out, and not a reach around. I'm talking about a reach out. That'll be a different show that maybe yes. I'll do later. So on behalf of my new friend Ian Harris, this is Justin Worsham saying stay frosty.